Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Hey everybody, welcome to Unlocking the Magic. You're listening to episode number 311. Bruce and I are grabbing the keys once again to unlock the mailbox.
Yeah, we got so many questions from the last episode, we had to break it down to two.
Two-parter.
So we got some questions from Instagram. We're going to answer those for you today. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us and tuning into the podcast every single week.
Yes, thank you so much for all your messages, your support, your emails, everything. I'm Connie. This is my co-host, Bruce.
Hello.
Vice versa.
Yes.
We haven't really ironed that down yet on roles, but we are a Disney podcast, and we hope you like it.
Yeah, we hope you like it. If you do, after the show is over, go leave us a review wherever you listen to the podcast. I'm excited to answer some of your questions today, by the way.
Yes, and if you want more content, be sure to check us out on Patreon. We do extra episodes over there. We've created this fun family unit over there, sharing advice, tips, some secrets that we won't share anywhere else. So if you want in on that, come join us.
Yeah, unlockingthemagic.com/Patreon, or just go to our website, unlockingthemagic.com, to get started there.
Okay. All right. Let's begin with these questions because we have quite a bit, and you know how much I love to talk.
Yeah, we're going to get right into it.
This one is from Margaret. Do you guys ever travel to amusement parks, non-theme park?
So I'm confused as to what a non-theme park is.
Well, a non-theme park would be a non-Disney park, in my opinion.
So like Hershey Park, is that a non-theme park or is that a theme park? Because it's like Hershey, chocolate.
I would say that's a non in my category.
All right, so Disney parks is a theme park. All right.
Or Universal. I mean, hey, look, That's true. We like it. We're, you know, under the radar over there. I know we're a Disney theme podcast, but our kids like Universal and I think we kind of do too. So
I definitely think it's for older kids, and it's definitely from the few times I've gone, I enjoyed myself there.
Right.
We don't often go to non-theme parks, but we do go.
Mainly because after Disney, we have high standards. So it's hard to just go into a non-theme park and have fun because we realize, like, for instance, we have Six Flags near us, and it's actually quite a hike and actually quite expensive for what you get. I don't feel like you get really that Disney. You don't get that experience where if you're looking for to be entertained and not 24/7 being like immersed in this thrilling attraction. Like
we've also taken our kids when they were real young to Hershey Park, like I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, a lot of people talk about the price of Disney, and I do agree it is expensive. Like if you go with your family for a week and you travel to Orlando or to Anaheim and you go to the parks, it's expensive between the hotel, the food, and the parks. But that being said, we went to Hershey Park, and it was pretty expensive, too, and that was in the middle of Pennsylvania.
I kind of liked Hershey Park.
Listen, I liked it, too, okay. But then every time we go to these other parks, we always compare the price and experience with going to a Disney park.
And look, we're from Boston, so we don't get palm trees. So whenever we are spending money, we kind of want to see a palm tree here and there, right?
And, and like these other parks, like Six Flags or Hershey Park or Canby Lake if you're in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
You have to go to these places when it's summertime. And summertime is like the only nice time that we have here in Boston. So we want to escape the winter, not the summer.
Right. I know. There's nothing indoors here, really.
So we do sometimes. We have in the past. It's not necessarily on our radar all the time or something we do quite often, but we have definitely in the past.
This next one is from Sam. Do you enjoy finding hidden Mickeys? I don't know why I had a hard time saying the word hidden. Sorry.
That's okay.
Okay.
Do you enjoy finding hidden Mickeys?
Yes, I do. I feel like hidden Mickeys are a fun way to remember it all started with a mouse.
I don't know if I seek them out, but when I do notice them, I always point them out.
Yeah, you do. You love doing that.
Yeah. So I don't know, like I'm not like searching for hidden Mickeys throughout the course of the day.
Yeah.
But if I do spot one, I'm always, hey, there's a hidden Mickey right there.
You feel like you won something.
I feel like I found something. Like so yeah, prize. I guess I do.
Yeah. I just feel like it really helps you remember to slow down and enjoy the moment. Like be in the moment when that's how you pick up on the great, amazing details in the parks. And I find that, like Bruce, I don't necessarily always seek them, but I try to be in the moment a lot more. And that's when they pop up to me. My favorite is actually, one of my favorite hidden Mickey is the, in the Hollywood Tower of Terror Hotel. That's my favorite, where the with a girl, little girls holding a Mickey Mouse doll.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. I mean,
I like them. Yeah. I think that, like you said, it gives you that experience of there are always small details that Disney does that other theme parks don't do.
Yeah.
That makes it extra special where you could just be standing in line and happen to see a hidden Mickey. It just like makes you, it just puts a smile on your face that you found it.
Did you know there's one on the People Mover?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I have to, next time we're there, I'm going to have to try to spot it out. I was told it's, I'm not going to say here, so you guys have to keep an eagle eye. Next time you're on the Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover, keep an eye out for a hidden Mickey, and I can't wait to go.
The one time that I was looking at them that I think G was, we were going on to the Slinky Dog Dash, and there's a mural behind the coaster when you get on it. And it looks like a crayon mural that they wrote. And Gianna's like, Dad, there's a couple hidden Mickeys on there. Let's see if you can find them while we're waiting in line. That's like sometimes she'll point them out to me.
She'll
research them or find them on TikTok or something. Right. And then she'll point them out to me or ask me if I can find them.
She's awesome. She researches like a boss with that stuff.
TikTok is great research, I guess.
Hey, and YouTube.
True.
Okay, next one from Hope Ann. Staying at the Polynesian for the first time in September. What are some must-dos while there? I think the beach is by far, like when I think of the Polynesian, I think of the beach and seeing the Cinderella Castle from that area. Like that to me makes me feel like I've arrived.
Yeah.
Like when they say like, we're home, you know, in Star Wars, Chewie, we're home. That's the feeling I get.
It's the small things, right? It's waking up in the morning and being out there early. In hearing the music or hearing them get set up at the Magic Kingdom across the way.
Yeah.
Seeing the boat come and go and
curry
guests back and forth to the Magic Kingdom if it's an off day for you and just kind of sitting on the beach and enjoying yourself there.
Isn't that horn so comforting?
It is. It's you know what's happening. You know, it's like if you're on the boat, you're excited to be on the boat heading over to the Magic Kingdom. Even if you're not on the boat, you're excited for the people on the boat heading over to the Magic Kingdom.
I'm so excited for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know they're on the way to a great day.
It's just a happy sound.
So sure. I say get up early, wander around the resort with your coffee in the morning. That's what I always love to do before everybody gets up and before everybody gets out and it gets busy. It's such a great resort to kind of just wander around early in the morning before people get – it gets crazy and busy everywhere. You really get to see the nooks and crannies of it.
I say stay up to watch the electrical water pageant because you're going to hear it from your room regardless.
Right.
A friend of mine said that. She said she forgot about the electrical water pageant. And when they stayed there, she was like, what is this noise? And all the kids woke up or whatever because they were trying to get to bed early. But definitely do that. I think for me, the Poly is all based on like the beach and just seeing, like I said, the electrical water pageant has got, it's just, it's so nostalgic. It's so cute. It's the green sea monsters and twinkling lights. It's just really fun. Or hopefully maybe by then you'll be able to see the fireworks for Magic Kingdom at the beach. If not, there's still campfires you can do and watch movies under the stars. It's just, to me, that's the essential piece of the Polynesian. Plus, I mean, the Kona Cafe, restaurants there, they're just the best.
Yeah, I enjoy that they play the Polynesian music throughout the resort as you're walking around.
So calming.
It makes you feel at ease.
Yeah.
You know, even though it could be busy or you could have a big day ahead of you. It's just something about the Polynesian music playing that just makes you at ease, like you're on vacation.
Yes. Yeah. All right, next one from Paige. What's a must-do at each park for a first-timer?
Ooh, so let's start with Magic Kingdom.
Okay. I'd say with Magic Kingdom, this is going to be homework before you go. I would say take in some history pre-visit so you can enjoy Main Street. In the windows of Main Street, or even some of the classic attractions that Walt actually helped create. So like the Carousel of Progress, I talked about the People Mover, the Tomorrowland Transit Transit Authority People Mover. That to me is the best thing for a first timer because you really get to appreciate the details in the park a lot more.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people go right to Seven Dwarfs Mine Train or to Space Mountain, and those are great. But do something a little different. Go off the beaten path a little bit. Maybe show them, if you're going with someone who's a first-timer, like you said, go do something that not everybody is in a rush to do right away.
Yeah.
Like the Jungle Cruise or Big Thunder Mountain. I think those are just different things to do rather than just following the crowd and going where everybody else does.
But now that we're talking about on the show, everyone's going to go do that. So you're always going to have to keep
That's true. Speaking, yeah, you're toast. Speaking of Magic Kingdom, at night something magical happens. And on the last episode, last week's episode, we talked about, or on the YouTube channel, actually, we talked about one attraction that you would want to go on at night. And I said Astro Orbiter in the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
I totally forgot about the People Mover at night.
The People Mover at night is epic.
Yeah, somebody mentioned that on the YouTube channel. I'm like, you know what? That would be a tough toss-up for me. I totally forgot. It's like, it's not operational right now, but it will be soon. And if those are operational, that's a tough toss-up between the People Mover and the Astro Orbiter.
I'm just 100%. I'm Tomorrowland at night. So all those attractions are a must-do for me at night anyway.
Yeah. So, all right, Epcot, what's one thing a first-timer must do at Epcot for the first time?
So for Epcot, I gotta say Spaceship Earth.
Yes. I mean, that's the star. Is the symbol of Epcot.
You gotta start with it. You have to start with Spaceship Earth and you have to end it with Spaceship Earth.
Soarin' is a fun attraction and it's thrilling and it's exciting and people think of that, Spaceship Earth is what you go to Epcot for.
You get a golden star from Connie if you start with Spaceship Earth and end with Spaceship Earth. So message me if you want that golden star. If you completed it, I need photo evidence and I'll send you a golden star.
Right.
I think that's the best way. All right, Animal Kingdom.
I mean, Safari. The reason Animal Kingdom exists is because of the conservation efforts and them trying to explain and educate people on the environments and the animals. Aww. And the Safari does a great job of that.
That's very grown up of you, Bruce. I'm impressed with that answer.
Yeah, I love the Safari as well. It's a long attraction.
Yeah.
There could be a giraffe that blocks your view or get real close to. An ostrich could chase you. There's so many opportunities to see a wide variety of animals that you wouldn't be able to see like that anywhere else.
And in their natural, like, they're animals, right? So you don't know what to expect when you're on the safari. They can, like he said, chase you.
Yeah, I love the fact that it's different every time. Like, you could go on the safari and a giraffe could go in your way and block it, and you have to stop for 5 minutes.
Right.
Because they don't make them move. They just kind of let them do what they do while they're out there, and I like that.
I don't know if I have a better answer, actually, now that you say all that. I was just going to say dine at Yak and Yeti because I've heard so many great things. People are raving about it, so I'm just going to write that as more of my goal, but I think that it's a good experience for anybody.
Yeah, plus your first time in the safari, like, they're going to be in awe.
Oh, I was talking about something else.
I know. Oh, okay. I was going back to my point.
Okay, good.
All right, Hollywood Studios, first time, what do you have to do?
First timer, it's going to go back to dining, but I do feel that this enhances your experience at Hollywood Studios. I feel like, especially now with so much happening and so many different areas, I feel like the two dining options that they have are my favorite and tells the story of Hollywood Studios. So you got to dine at either the Primetime Cafe or Sci-Fi Dine-In Theater.
Yeah, I agree. I think Dine-In is great. The both of those, the Primetime Cafe is more about, to me, what Hollywood Studios is than the Sci-Fi because there's cast members involved.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what Hollywood Studios is all about, involving those cast members into the story while you walk through the park.
That's true. Right. They get the hand on storytelling and it makes it way more immersive.
Yeah, I love that. So I agree
with
you.
Not to mention your kids, if you have kids, they'll eat their veggies there. That's probably the only place they'll eat their veggies the whole trip.
So Primetime Cafe with a side of Tower Terror.
There you go.
That's your day.
By the way, back to Hope Ann's question about the Poly. I got to tell you, I'm sort of impressed that you didn't mention Tonga Toast. That was, you know?
I feel like that's a given.
Okay.
You know, if there's one thing you got to do, I got to mention something else. I feel like Tonga Toast is a given.
Okay. I was just saying, I thought that was your perfect opportunity to throw it in and you didn't. So
if they listen to this podcast and they're going to the Poly, they know that.
Okay. You're just going to have faith that they're Team Tonga.
Yes.
All right. Next question. This is a deep question. This is from Mandy. Is it worth the big bucks to stay on property without extra magic hours, magic bands, or Magical Express? Now, Magical Express is still there, but I think this might be for a future trip that maybe she knows that it will be gone. So what do you think?
I think if it's a choice between not being able to go or being able to go, I don't think you need to stay on property.
I see what you're saying.
If money's tight for you. Mm-hmm. Like if you say, all right, maybe it's going to take me another year to stay on property, but I could go this year if I stayed off property. I don't think it's that big a deal to stay on property. That being said, it is much nicer a vacation if you stay on property, if you go from the parks right back to your resort and you get to hang around with there. Like, yes, it's more expensive, But it's definitely a more relaxing resort if you stay on property and you just use Disney transportation or you don't leave the bubble at all, in my opinion.
I just think that, yeah, I think that the vibe and the energy is so different when we're off property. Now, we have fun. It's still a vacation. But is it a relaxing vacation? Is it, do I truly feel it, like I've escaped reality? I mean, look, sometimes you need it to escape reality, even us, right?
Yeah.
We go down and that's the goal sometimes. Like, we want to be transported. And when we go off property, regardless of the price, it's still not the same. And it's because I feel like when you're surrounded by other Disney vacationers, you're in the, like Bruce said, the bubble. It's that like happy energy that you just can't replicate no matter how you try, how hard you try anywhere else. So that being said, I would say it is worth it. Now, we never took advantage of extra magic hours because guess what? Those park days were crazy busy those days. So that doesn't bother me at all.
Right. And the Magical Express, we've only done a couple times. So we've rented cars from the airport and made our own transportation. So those two things wouldn't be a factor in our decision.
Right. Do I think a Magical Express was like cool and I think it's going to be sad to see go? For sure. But it's definitely not the whole, I mean, it's not one of the pieces that I feel like will be lost in the experience that you want to have. The Magic Bands, you know, they still have them. You got to buy them. They're right. Doing this. I was reading they're doing this like with your cell phone kind of thing.
Yeah, they're coming out with some new technology that you're going to use your cell phone as. You can use a Magic Band, but you can also use your cell phone in the future.
Which I think, I mean, Disney's always going to do that. They're always going to evolve. They're always going to try to innovate ways to make your experience that much better. You know, it took us a long time to get used to the Magic Band. So seeing them, you know, going without it, it's probably not a big deal for me, but that's just me.
Right.
You know?
So I think, you know what? You have to decide for your family.
Right.
If you, like I said earlier, if money's tight and it's going to mean you have to wait longer to go.
Yeah.
You don't need to stay on property.
Just set your expectations, right? Like try to make wherever you are staying off property that, you know, try to incorporate other things to make it fun for you, to make you feel like you've gone away.
And the difference is between staying on property and off property. Another difference is you're much more likely to have a bad experience staying off property than you are on.
That's a good point.
Because even though there's value resorts moderate in the expensive ones like the Poly and all those, for the most part, other than like the room size and the amenities on property, the service is the same. The cleanliness is the same. That's the attitude of the cast members is the same.
That's a big deal for us. Like cleanliness and knowing when you're booking what you're getting is a big deal for us.
Right. So you may not get the best restaurants at a value resort, but you are going to get a clean room that has great service and the cast members are going to help you out quite a bit. Now you could get an Airbnb and you walk in like we have in the past and been like, "What? We are not staying here. How do we get out of here?"
Yeah. And no one's wearing Mickey ears and everyone looks sad. No, I'm just kidding.
Right. So,
but yeah,
use that for your next experience. But like I said, if it's going to make you wait a long time, you don't have to.
Next one from Meg. I'm planning a trip next month and we've not done Epcot since my son was 4. So we are, him too, wanting to go. Do you think for a 7-year-old, we'd get good use out of a whole day there? I know you love Epcot. What do you think?
Oh, that was the end of the question?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I don't, 7-year-old, probably not. I don't think it'll be a, listen, we had a 7-year-old go there, and even our 13-year-old doesn't love walking around World Showcase as much as we do.
Quite the contrary. Well, she might not love walking around the showcase that much, but she does love eating around the showcase.
True. But like, she's always like, let's go, let's go, let's go. And a 7-year-old is much younger than a 13-year-old.
Yeah. But she also has, you know, it's her personality. That's always been her. That's never going to change. Other kids are maybe a little more calm.
Right.
So maybe you have a different child than we have. So that might make a difference in our opinion or what you should do. Right.
Yeah.
But I do think a 7-year-old can have so much fun in a whole day there, especially if they really take in everything Epcot has. Like Epcot is funny because it doesn't seem like it has a lot of attractions, like ride on rides, right? But it has so many things you can see. And if you just know where to go and really take it in, I think there's plenty to do.
I don't know. I correlate Epcot today
as
to what Hollywood Studios was before Toy Story Land opened and before Galaxy's Edge opened.
Oh, I mean, I guess
that's
true.
And we went there. And as much as we love Hollywood Studios, we visited with those two lands gone and everything being under construction. And as much as we love Hollywood Studios, we left in a half a day. And I feel like Epcot right now maybe a little bit better than that because of the World Showcase, and there's more to see and eat and do there. Mm-hmm. But it still doesn't feel like it. You're going to be able to get there at rope drop and then stay till the end of the night and have unique experiences that you don't have to repeat throughout the course of the day.
You know, one good point too is like I didn't even realize with the current situation. If you're listening to this, it's 2021. I think it could be part of the fun of Epcot is like, for instance, going on Spaceship Earth and then leaving, and then in the same attraction, you get to play all those games.
Yeah.
It's not, we haven't been there since coronavirus started, so I don't know if those are in operation right now, if you're allowed to do that, which if that's the case, then I probably agree with Bruce.
Yeah. So, you know, but I think that's going to change a couple of years from now or whenever they finish all of the attractions and all the new things coming to Epcot.
Ratatouille's coming in October.
Yeah, end of this year. Yeah. It's going to be exactly what Hollywood Studios is today, you know, because it's done, right? And there's going to be so much more than there is to do right now. So that may be the only time I say get a park hopper is if you're planning on going to Epcot, just in case you don't find value in the whole day there.
Okay, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it is.
I feel like we left that open-ended a lot. Well,
I think you said stay the whole day. I said probably not.
Yeah. Okay, next one from Abby. I've been listening to your podcast for a while now. I really enjoy them. I was just wondering, I'm due to go to Walt Disney World in September, but we won't get to our resort until about 7 p.m. What would you recommend to do in Disney Springs and places to eat there for quick service? Thank you in advance.
Oh, that's a good question.
We just did, what number? I can't remember, but it was just recent. So this is episode 311. So if you maybe go back.
Episode 307.
Okay, 307. We did Unlocking Disney Springs. We talked about the history of Disney Springs and then things that we love to do there. So definitely go listen to that episode because that will be very helpful for you. But for me, Disney Springs is always about just I like to window shop in Disney Springs more than anything. Other than World of Disney, I love to just kind of go and window shop and always get pizza. We always get pizza.
Yeah, Pizza Ponte is the place we go to for pizza.
We talk about that so much, but it's really our favorite. It's so good. It's so easy. It's quick. And, you know, I mean, you can have the pickiest eater and they'll eat pizza.
Yeah, pizza. Everybody loves pizza.
Right? I mean, there's so many quick services in Disney Springs that you can definitely get what you're looking for. But for us and our family, it's just like a no-brainer. Like everybody eats pizza. It's done. It's delicious. It's good. And then we can move on and get some ice cream or gelato.
Or Gideon's.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
There's so many new places opening there too. So yeah, I would get pizza and then I would get something for dessert at one of those places that Connie mentioned. I might get a cookie and then go get some gelato.
You know what? Maybe get something for dessert and bring back to your resort room for later in the evening when you're in the room and you want to unwind and you just have a nice dessert.
Agreed.
Okay, to do that. What he said.
All right. You go.
Next one. I don't know who this is from, but this is a would you rather question. Would you rather have them redo the Little Mermaid attraction with similar technology to the new Beauty and Beast ride or upgrade the Peter Pan queue so it's easier and more fun to wait in line? So the Little Mermaid are we talking about the Little Mermaid in Magic Kingdom?
I believe so.
I actually was bummed about the Little Mermaid, other than the queue, which I love. I didn't love the attraction so much, but on Diz Kids, if I'm plugging their show right now, it's our kids. They created their own Disney podcast. I think they're on episode 13 now. DIZ Kids, go check them out. Little plug. They talked about the Little Mermaid ride being one of their favorites.
Did they really?
Yeah, and now I'm like, oh my goodness, I think I need to just remember that. It's going to stick with me forever because now that I know they like it or love it, I think I'll appreciate it a little bit more. I think I was more bummed because I was looking for something, because it was brand new. Oh, well, newer at the expansion of Fantasyland. I was expecting this like out of this world technology where like your clamshell does something crazy. Like goes into like this world of water and bubbles and I don't know. It means dizzy, right?
You were thinking it was going to be more like what Mickey's and Minnie's Runaway Railway is.
Maybe.
More interactive, more technology versus kind of what it is. Now, that's surprising to hear. You know what I think the reasoning behind that is we've never gone on the Little Mermaid attraction in the Magic Kingdom and had a wait. It was always just walk on, pretty much. Yeah. If the wait was more than 5 minutes, that was long. So I think that has to go into their consideration because if they had to wait 35 minutes for that attraction, I don't think they'd like it as much.
I agree.
And that's what makes Peter Pan different. I don't know. I don't know how long. I don't know what they could do to the queue in Peter Pan to make me want to wait 90 minutes to go on there. I have to hand out ice cream sandwiches or something in order for, like, if they handed out food in the queue.
Can the queue be a ride? Like, can we queue?
Maybe.
Can it be like a revolving seat where you sit down and it moves like every little, very, very slowly, but I don't know.
It's no,
like
here's what they should do. They should do like when you go to a, like if you go to a restaurant or a takeout restaurant that it first opens and it's really busy and there's a long line, like it's very anticipated for people to go.
Yeah.
Somebody always comes out and kind of hands you samples. Yes. They should do that when you're in queue at Peter Pan. Like they should hand you fruit waffles. If you've waited 30 minutes or more, you should get like a small fruit waffle or a Mickey ice cream bar or something like that while you wait. That would make me want to wait longer.
Brilliant. Let's do it. Let's upgrade the Peter Pan queue with little sample sizes of fruit and waffles.
Yeah, totally. Done. After 30 minutes, if you wait 30 minutes, you get a fruit waffle, I'm in.
All right.
I may even just wait 30 minutes for the fruit waffle right? And hop out of line.
Exactly. Okay, next question. When you do 2 days at Magic Kingdom, do you guys split the park into two parts and cover the different parts on different days, or do you bounce all over on both days? Besides Space Mountain and Haunted Mansion, is there something you do no other days? From Brandon. Thank you, Brandon.
Well, I'm wondering what he means by we do no other days.
So, like, when we go to the Magic Kingdom, right, do we ever go say, okay, we're going to do Tomorrowland and Fantasyland this day, and then tomorrow we're going to come back and we're going to do, we're going to do Frontierland.
I don't think so. I think we bounce around.
We do bounce around.
At this point, we may have done that in the beginning.
Never.
But I think we just kind of bounce around. And the thing about going to the Magic Kingdom is every day is unique.
Yes.
And even if you've done something one way, one day, the next time you go, you always do it a little bit differently, even if it's kind of similar.
We've never split up the parts of the parks, although that might not be a bad idea to really get in all, everything you want to see in each land. That being said, we've always done 2 days at Magic Kingdom. Like,
right.
To us, even still, like, we still go so much, and one day is never enough. So that is a good thing that you're going 2 days. And then as far as besides Space Mountain and Haunted Mansion doing that, we probably don't do Splash. If we go 2 days, if we do Splash one day, we probably won't do it the next time.
That is true.
We kind of get it one and done out of it. Our kids, us, we all hate being soggy and wet, and we complain a lot if it's like slightly a little chill in the air and we're wet. So that's one of the attractions we probably.
Yeah, I think we'll probably look, other than what he mentioned for like Haunted Mansion and Pirates and Space Mountain, the attractions like Peter Pan or Mine Train that have really long lines, or Splash Mountain or Jungle Cruise, mm-hmm. We may only hit those one of the days.
Yeah.
And then do the other ones multiple times that we can go on that have smaller or shorter wait times.
All right, next question. Haven't been to Hollywood Studios. Can you speak to what we need to rope drop with young kids? 3.5, 5, 8. Oh, and my sister will be 7 months pregnant.
Holy moly.
That's awesome. Good for her.
Yeah.
Also, what restaurants, quick service, or snacks do we need? First of all, if I'm going with 3 kids under the age of 8 and being 7 months pregnant, I don't know if I would necessarily worry about rope drop. Just because that's a lot to
put on. I would rope drop and head right to Toy Story Land.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say that, but yeah, we
because
agree.
Those attractions there, that's going to get busy. If you're rope dropping with small kids and you, like, Toy Story Land's the land.
Yeah.
Eating
at Woody's, what's it called?
Woody's Lunchbox.
Yeah.
Go right there. Rope drop, go right there. Get on the saucer swirls, the Slinky Dog Dash.
True.
And just do whatever you can there and absorb the atmosphere with your kids before they get tuckered out.
Yeah, maybe that's a good strategy too, I don't know. I was just thinking of myself 7 months pregnant and it was a hot mess. Like, I couldn't do anything. So I can't imagine being super worried about getting there early and trying to do everything at once. But you could be a lot different. I mean, I'm sure she's way more in shape than I ever can be. But, so that's sometimes a good strategy. You get all the busy attractions or a lot out of the way in the morning, and then you can also wing the rest of the day without added stress.
Right. And I don't know how young kids like that may not be as into Star Wars as we are.
Right.
So I don't know if Millennium Falcon or Rise of the Resistance is going to be on their radar, but definitely the Toy Story Land will be.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. Next question. Not sure. Oh, this is from Kendall. Not sure as I haven't listened to all the podcasts yet, but do you guys have one about Disney lingo? Or things to do on various resorts, like scavenger hunt, activities, neat things to see.
Huh, I don't think we did. Well, I don't even know Disney lingo. What's Disney lingo?
First of all, we did talk about doing a show, this was a while ago, probably 5-6 episodes back, that we figured that there are so many people that don't understand the Disney phrases or lingo, and we wanted to like break it down. Like, I feel like I should have that as part of my packing list, like a Disney lingo, so you know what is rope drop. What, you know, people don't realize what that is, and it just, for us, it's because we've been going for so many years, we figured it out.
Here's the deal: you're not alone. Okay. So I don't understand half of it either, and we've done 300. What is this number? 311 of the podcast, plus the live shows and YouTube, and I still don't know half of them. First of all, I know barely any abbreviations. Next to zero. Well, and then I don't know too many of the lingo. So you're not alone.
I think that abbreviations are two different things. Like, I don't like abbreviations at all just because it confuses me. My brain doesn't, I'm not able to read abbreviations correctly. It just, that's part of how I am, my makeup. So I just can't process them. But lingo, I definitely think we will be doing soon because, you know, in some kind of form, either a post or just an episode talking about it, because I think that's important. But as far as resorts and activities, I think if you go back to like our unlocking episodes of resorts, you'll pick out pieces of things that you can do, activities, especially at various different resorts. Every resort offers something different. I think one of my favorites is actually the campgrounds because they have so many activities for families. Yes. Like you can, I don't know. It just
you can feels, just hang out outdoors all day there and there's so much fun activities going totally. On when everything's back to normal, that is.
Right. Yeah.
But soon. It's going to be exciting. I think that's a great episode, by the way. Disney lingo, just like we should go over some, because then I'd understand it maybe.
You would finally, are you just nodding your head when I say some certain phrases?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's not surprising. Okay, next one from Courtney. I just listened to your Driving to Disney episode of the podcast and was wondering if you had any suggestions on where to stop on the way down. My family's thinking about driving down for the first time for April vacation this year, but aren't sure where a good stop is. We are in the seacoast of New Hampshire, so not too far north of you in Boston. Thanks, love the podcast.
Stop at south of the border.
This is a question for you, because you do the driving. You kind of control where we end up, I feel.
We always end up in the North Carolina, South Carolina border somewhere around there. Either midway, depending on how tired I get driving and what time we leave. It's always around the Fayetteville area of North Carolina that I tend to start saying, Connie, we should try to start looking for a hotel. Because that's about 15 hours in. And then the next day you can wake up and have, you know, 6 to 7 hours of driving and get to Orlando later in the afternoon.
We also have been doing this awesome new route where we go through the bridge. What's it called?
The Delaware Bridge.
Yes. Thank you. That I am absolutely in love with that route because it's way more scenic.
It is. And plus, if you stop before you get on the Delaware Bridge.
Yeah.
What an amazing view that is.
I know. You just pull over, get out, and admire the scenery there. I understand some people might not love that bridge because you go under whatever. You go under.
It could be a little frightening because it is quite a long bridge connects Delaware to Virginia.
Yeah.
It is very, very long.
Yeah.
And you go under the water, you go over the water. We crossed it one time in the fog, and that was a little sketchy. But you know what? Yeah. It was a cool experience and something that you have to do once. And it's way better than going down 95.
Oh, my gosh. It just popped up a memory in my head where we were going through the Delaware Bridge. It was a road trip. We had brought our nephew with us. Shout out to Devlin, if you're listening to this, my man. Love you. The entire time, I was so scared because it was, you know, the bridge itself, it's long, like Bruce said, but add the fog. So the entire time he's in the back seat quoting things from, it was from like the Haunted Mansion. So it put in like a word called, like, say, he would say dead about everything. Yeah. Like, we're going to come to a dead stop. Yeah. And just like he would use it to, and it cracked me up, made the journey so much better. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, laughter definitely fixes scary.
Yeah.
Being scared. If you can make someone laugh when they're being frightened or scared of something, it always helps for sure.
But the good thing about driving now too and technology is that most everybody has GPS on their iPhones. And what we've found that's really helped is being able to navigate where we're going to be. So I don't actually book anything. I don't know if this is a bad thing. I've never had a problem ever in all the years we've been driving and had the technology on our iPhone to book a hotel on the road an hour away where we're from. So we know, like, we never like to push ourselves and get tired and then try to find a place. Like, we try to gauge, okay, it's 7 o'clock, where we're going to be in an hour, that's probably when we should stop. So you just go on your phone, you put up one of those travel website things, apps, Priceline, whatever, and you can find a pretty good place to stay.
Yeah, I also...
Don't call the hotel.
Yeah, also...
They'll always say they're full.
I also don't like... Like in theory, I'm always like, let's stop somewhere on the way down or the way back. But ultimately, I just want to get there, either to Orlando or home,
yeah,
as fast as humanly possible. So I'd never like to make stops like to sightsee because I feel like that delays our arrival at our destination.
Yeah.
So
well, that's why really I like that there. Route that we go. I forget the highway it's called, but I like it because it kind of satisfies my need to look around and see something other than a boring highway.
Yeah.
That's cool. Okay, last question. How many minutes are we at?
35.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, I can do a couple more then if we have to. Okay, since character meals are significantly different, is it worth the price?
No, I wouldn't go to a character meal if it wasn't significantly different.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it.
I actually like the significantly different character meals. This is my dream. Before this hell happened, I talked about having a place for people like me who are introverted and want to be at the character meals, but want to be guaranteed they don't come over to the table.
Yeah.
This is amazing. It's a dream come true for me.
Do you think it should be less expensive, though, because it's less of the do you think it's less of... I guess you don't think it's less of experience.
I think it's a better experience.
Yeah,
I'd pay more.
You would pay more. Like, you want this option going forward forever.
Listen, the cast members are still doing their job, whether or not they can come up to your table. So
yeah, that's true.
It's not like... The experience of coming up to your table is different, but it's not like they're not there.
You know, it'd be cool if all restaurants could be like in the Beauty and the Beast castle, right? Be our guest.
Yeah.
If all restaurants could be like Be Our Guest, where you have one side, you know, you have two actually full different experience dining experiences, but maybe going forward, once the pandemic's over, they could have one where the characters come up to you. And the other is just into the distance, and it's two separate experiences. But you know, okay, I'm going to go green or I'm going to go orange.
Yes.
that would be a good thing, right?
I would love that.
Just like Mission Space, like you can just pick and choose your comfort level, right?
Yes.
I think, there you go. Brilliant, Disney. Come on.
I love it. All right, I have one from the text machine here. This one says, my husband and I are going to Disney.
Text machine.
In May. We love pizza and would love to know your favorite places around Orlando. Please and thank you.
Orlando. So it's not necessarily just Disney.
Well, okay. Ponte Pizza that we mentioned earlier is a great place in Disney Springs, but my friend actually owns Bruno Pizza, which is outside of the Disney atmosphere, kind of close to the airport in Orlando. It's probably about 35 minutes away from the resort area. So if you have you're probably going to have a rental car, but it's Neapolitan style pizza, really good, highly recommended. They make the dough fresh in there. So if there's one place in Orlando that you go for pizza, that's probably going to be my shot.
That's actually, I got to say, it's not necessarily easy to get to. You got to obviously have to have a rental car, but it's worth, I mean, we always have a rental car, so it's easier for us, but it is really good pizza. I couldn't believe it because a lot of times you'd hear people say that in Florida, it was hard to find a good pizza. I mean, granted, these are people that are probably coming from New York, right? So it's, you know, you got a lot to live up to. But I love it.
I haven't found a ton of great pizza around, like close proximity to Disney, but not on the property.
Yeah, Disney Springs, okay.
Yeah, but that's in Disney property.
Oh, right.
But outside of the Disney property area, there are good pizza places in Florida, but you got to drive there. I think Pizza Bruno is the best one closest to Disney.
I agree.
All right, that's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to end it there, you guys. Thank you so much for all your questions. If we didn't answer them, I apologize. We probably didn't know the answer, so we probably didn't want to share it.
Yeah. I mean, we answer the ones that we could help you with. Otherwise,
we'll just ignore it. No,
we refer to somebody else.
But thank you. If we didn't answer and you really have a burning question, please send it back over to us. You can email us.
Yeah. Send us an email, info@unlockingthemagic.com.
Yes, or you can get us on Instagram.
Yep, Unlocking the Magic Podcast on Instagram, Unlocking the Magic over on YouTube as well. We do have a new video that comes out every single week. Tuesdays around 8 p.m. Eastern time. We're hanging out in the comments if you want to go subscribe to the YouTube channel over there. A couple weeks ago, we did a live, so maybe once in a while we'll do some lives.
Yeah, it's good. It's always good to chat live when we can. And I'm sure, I don't know, I'm the type of person that always needs to see a face with the name. So if you guys are hearing my voice and want to know what I look like, I hope you don't get disappointed, but we're on YouTube. You can check us out there. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and like we said in the beginning, couple things. Go check out Patreon if you want to support the podcast. $5 a month. You can join us. We do extra podcast episodes in there. You actually get your own private podcast feed for the extra episodes if you join us in Patreon as well. So if you enjoy this episode, you get your own podcast feed there as well. And also go check out the Diz Kids podcast as well.
Yes, yes. Shout out to you, those of you who have that have messaged us. I got a message from Jan. She said, P.S. your girls are great with their Diz Kids podcast. I'm telling my sons about it because I think their kids would love it. They love talking about anything Disney World related.
Yeah,
so thank you for all your messages on that. They really love, they're having so much fun, and I just hope they continue, but for now it's just for fun, and they love all the feedback, so thank you.
All right, thank you guys so much. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.